Hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Passionate Living. We have such a special and such an extraordinary show for you today. I'm so thrilled because when I created this show, it was my heart's desire to bring to you the top experts around the world who had the keys and the secrets and the tools and the techniques to leading and living a more passionate life, a happier life, a joyful life, one that was unlimited and unbridled, truly in happiness and the way that I believed in my heart of hearts that we could all connect and be together around the world, around this planet, and a way of living that it would exemplify love. And today's guest is opening the doorway to that life, to that light in the most profound and extraordinary way. And I am absolutely excited, elated, touched, honored, privileged, and almost anything that I could possibly say that would step up and step up and step up into opening your heart into the higher self. Today we are speaking with Dr. Lise Janelle, who is a mentor, a friend, and somebody who has just done such unbelievable work around the world. And her book, Conversations with the Heart, really changed my life. And the way that I'm able to talk to myself, the way that I hear myself, the way that I think, and the way that I share with other people and even share with you as an audience throughout the world. And so it is an honor and a privilege to welcome today's guest, Dr. Lise Janelle. Lise, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Oh, my goodness. It's what a perfect time to have you on. You know, I look at everything that you've done, and you're... resume, your biography is so incredible because you've been through so many incarnations of you. Truly, as a doctor, as an author, as a speaker, as a coach, as somebody who connects people to themselves from the inside out, to each other, to the world, and to the planet. And I guess my favorite question to ask guests is always the did you know factor, the when you were 6 and 7 and 8. When other people, you know, little girls wanted to be school teachers or wanted to be prima ballerinas, was there something in you that was naturally helping people or connected to the world around you? Or did something happen that just blew that door open for you later in life?
That's a great question. Yes. When I was a child, I must have been a different kind of child because I remember around 7 years old and thinking that the thing that would scare me the most would be not to succeed in doing what I came to do. And then I was living my life, setting goals and making things happen, but I was still feeling really empty inside. And in 1988, my father was diagnosed with terminal cancer and given 9 months to live. That was 3 weeks before my sister's wedding. A week after my sister's wedding, my 21-year-old brother died in a car accident. And then, within a week of that, the relationship with the man I thought I was going to marry, and we had been together for 8 years, ended. And it was such a painful blow that it sent me on a quest to understand what it takes to live a successful life, a life that, when your last breath comes, you know that you have lived well. And the following year, I was taking a seminar, and I was doing an exercise. I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I got in such a state of gratitude. I got in a state that, like people who say they died and they come back, you know, they didn't have to transition yet. The way they describe what it felt like, I got to experience this without having to die. And what I got to know at that moment was that everything that ever happened to us, everything that is happening, everything that will ever happen to us is happening for our highest good. It's happening to teach us how to love ourselves and love others, and to grow in wisdom. And this experience was so powerful. I'm putting words to something that had no words. It was just a knowing. I was shown something so extraordinary. And at that moment in 1989, I wrote down that I wanted to help heal the hearts of millions of people by maximizing their life potential. So I've been on this quest ever since that moment. Because before I had this experience, I felt like life was unfair, things were not working out, what's wrong with me for these things to happen. And within a few hours, I just turned around the whole story that I had made up about my life. To have such gratitude, and it was so empowering, so healing, that I've been on this quest ever since.
That's phenomenal. I mean, it almost makes me cry just to sit here and think about it, because to be a child, to be a teen, to be an adult, and to have a mission. What was that you said? To heal the hearts of
millions of people.
Millions.
To maximize their life potential.
What a huge vision. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. It really is. And then, how did you start your institute? Was that, did you say, okay, I'm going to start with one person at a time, and from this heart, I'm just going to connect all these people to who they are inside and to the world?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Well, when I wrote this down, I was a chiropractor. I was a holistic chiropractor. And I was doing mind-body work, and I decided to go and study with the best teachers I knew. And I listened to all the recordings I could find, and I read all the books I could find. And in 1992, I started to teach seminars, small groups. But I kept on going, and because I needed to gain confidence, I was scared. I was scared to death of this big mission I had. And in 2003, all of a sudden, I'd be standing behind my patient, and I'd be crying. I took my girlfriend out for her birthday, and right in the middle of the birthday dinner, I started crying, and I thought, okay, I need to stop, and I need to listen, because something is going on right now. And what I saw was that I had an amazing lifestyle. I loved my work as a chiropractor. My patients loved me. I loved them. I was really good. I had great results. I was working 25 hours a week. I was taking 13 weeks off a year. I was making good money. It was a beautiful lifestyle. But then this calling was inside of me. So I took 3 months off. And during the 3 months off, I gathered the courage to face the fact that if I wanted to do this, I had to change. And in 2004, I sold my practice, and I became a heart-centered success coach. And I've been doing this ever since.
Wow, it's just beautiful. I mean, the journey itself and the fact that you were successful, that you had this happy life, I love the fact that you were able to vacation all of those weeks, and that still you heard this little calling inside and you listened to that instead of the clamor of what the world would consider a success.
Yes, and that's why I told you the story about the little girl, the 7-year-old girl. I think, like, my wiser self was speaking to the younger self, that don't get stuck in the pleasure, because I find that often the challenge, we can run away from challenges, and that gets us off course from doing what we are here to do, but also getting stuck in what's pleasureful. But pleasures of the senses, pleasures of the emotions can never make up for a pleasure of the heart. And that's part of a lot of the work that I do, is to help people realize that pleasure of the heart is what makes us feel whole inside. When we go for the pleasures of the emotions of the body, we feel empty inside.
That's absolutely, absolutely, absolutely amazing. And I looked at your book, and your book literally changed my life. First of all, your book, the cover, there's something about the cover for Conversations for Your, you just, it's the kind of book that you go, ooh, what's that? It's like it draws you to it, and you're like looking at it and saying, that must be something special, wonderful inside. And so was there something that when you were coaching people that came up over and over and over again, and people that didn't know how to define love or that were disconnected from their heart or what their heart wanted to know, was there something that you just said, gosh, I'd love to just get this down on paper and get this out to as many people as possible?
Yes, definitely. That was my blessing from doing the work I've been doing, is I've literally got the opportunity to work with thousands of people one-on-one. I got to do it in groups, but the one-on-one, you really get to know the nature of people. And then I started to see patterns. And the reason why we are unhappy is because we disconnect from our hearts. And I like to use the yin and the yang to represent, to give a visual that helps us understanding what it means to love ourselves and others and what it means to live from the heart. And when you look at the dark side of the Tao symbol, that represents the yin principle, the female principle, which is listening. And the light side, the yang principle, the male principle, is the action side. And our heart wants us to know two things. Our heart wants us to know that we are worthy of love, and it wants us to admit our dreams and aspirations. That's what it wants us to know. Then it wants us to get going on those two things. And it's so, so important, because otherwise it's like if you were speaking to me right now, Nicole, and instead of responding to what you're saying, I'm looking out the window and I'm dilly-dallying and I'm not paying attention to you, you probably feel upset. You probably feel like I don't care about you. And if we were in a long-term relationship, you probably start to feel depressed. Well, a heart is speaking to us all the time, and it wants us to know those two things. It wants us to admit that we are worthy of love. It wants us to let go of any story that makes it not so. It wants us to admit our dreams and aspirations. And when we don't do that, when we don't listen, we start to feel depressed. And let's say that while we speak, you tell me you love Thai food, and next time we get together, I make a reservation at a Thai restaurant. You would get there and you go, she was listening to me, but not only that, she did something for me. And the same thing happens to us. Once we start listening to our heart and we start doing something on our heart's desires, then we start to feel good inside. And we have to be hypocrites to believe that the world around us is supposed to give to us those two things. It's up to us to start paying attention and act on our heart's desire. And that, to me, that's the formula for success. That's the way to live a successful life, where you feel alive, passionate, like you make a difference in the world, and grateful for who you are, what you have, and what you do.
This is the best information. I absolutely so appreciate this. And, you know, we think about what gets in the way of our hearts, our dreams, or us acting, you know, as you're saying, listening to our own heart and saying, okay, I hear you. And not just I hear you, but I'm going to take action. I'm going to move from that place of having a calling of the heart to a fulfillment of the heart, to a joy of the heart, to an elation of the heart, to a smorgasbord of happiness, and all of that. And so I love this work. And I know that you have a huge event coming up. And also we have Valentine's coming up, and we're going to take a break in just a couple minutes here. But when we come back from break, I would love to talk about Valentine's first, because so many people associate love to Valentine's, and there's so many people already, a week away and people are already sad and they're depressed because they don't have a Valentine Day date, and people are down and they're, you know, dejected. And then there are other people who feel so much pressure that if they don't perform, or they don't buy the right roses, or they don't take somebody to the right restaurant, that their love life is over. So when we come back, I'd love to be able to talk about how we connect to our hearts, and what the benefit is, and how we can share love. And I remember that you were saying something once about, you know that somebody loves you, and having that trust and that faith without having to question it or having to doubt it. And so I'd love to talk about that and this unbelievably incredible event that you have coming up that I know is a fulfillment of a lifelong dream and something that's just going to explode consciousness and allow each and every person that's listening to this show and everybody that they touch and everybody that they know and everybody for generations to come that have been moved by love of any kind to be able to shift consciousness and create a difference on our planet and our world. So more with Dr. Elise Janelle when we return here on Passionate Living.
BBS Radio.
Hi, it's Nicole Brandon. We are back on Passionate Living with Dr. Elise Janelle, talking about conversations with the heart, how to lead and live a heart-centered life, and certainly how to share love in your heart around the world with others that you meet, and actually how to live and to lead a life in that state. And just before the break, Elise, we were talking about Valentine. And Valentine's is almost like New Year's Eve. People either love Valentine's or they're so afraid of it.
Yes.
It's almost like this fireball that they're afraid to get too close to and they don't even know why. And so many people have such an emotional charge and an emotional response. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Well, when people, and this is the big thing about love, is that there are two possible stages in human development. The first one that everybody goes through is the unconscious, infantile, immature, or asleep phase of our human development. The second part is the awakened, conscious, mature phase of human development. So everybody goes to the first phase, but not everybody goes to the second phase. And the first phase is when we're born in this world, right from the beginning, love has to come from the outside. And if you cry and your primary caregiver comes, you feel like, wow, I'm capable. I have power. I'm invincible. I have the world at my feet. I can ask for what I want. I deserve everything. But let's say one night your mom, dad, whoever is taking care of you fell asleep because they've been taking care of you all day. And now you cry. You cry and cry and nobody comes. You cry and cry and cry and cry some more and nobody comes. Everything in your little heart, and now you start to feel like, what's wrong with me? I'm unworthy of love. It hurts when I ask for what I want. Maybe I should stop asking for what I want. And then we start creating stories about our worth. And then mom, horror of horror, has the audacity to have another sibling. And then that really means that something is wrong with me, and I cannot get mom's attention the same way anymore. I was not enough. And then we go to school, and one day our best friend plays with us, and the second, if somebody else has a better toy, they forget about it. And then we're 17 years old, and we get a crush on someone, and then we get crushed because it doesn't work, because it's not supposed to. But all of these phases, all of these stories, they get us to decrease our self-worth because we're constantly looking for the outside to tell us who we are and our worth. So, and if we're lucky, we wake up from that and we use what I was talking about. We go into a mature, conscious phase of human development where we know we're worthy of love, we listen to our dreams and aspirations, and we make things happen. And having a healthy relationship is part of most people's dreams and aspirations, but we don't define ourselves by it. So when we face Valentine's Day, the two types of people, if If you define your worth by having a Valentine's that day, by the outside telling you that you are worthy, and you don't have one, you're going to be, you know, challenged. If you define yourself by it and you happen to have someone, then you'll feel worthy. But it's a very precarious place to be because you're really at the mercy of the winds, at the mercy of what's happening on the outside to tell you your worth versus coming from your inner self, understanding who you are, and loving yourself and being there no matter what. And this is part of the work I do with my clients, is to make sure that they know who they are, so they are solid inside, so that no matter what happens on the outside, they're safe. That's why I end up working a lot with performer, artists, entrepreneurs, CEOs, people who have big responsibilities, athletes, people who need to know who they are and not let the ups and downs of life dictate their worth, including Valentine's Day.
It's so genius. Absolutely. And when you talk about people feeling unworthy, I remember that you and I had a conversation once that you were saying that when people feel or know that they're loved, like when somebody would be making a beautiful dinner for their husband or their boyfriend, and if he was late coming home, that right away that they think that something's wrong with them, that he doesn't love me, so therefore he disrespects me and he's coming late. Is that correct?
Yes. So that's one trick that I give my clients, is that love is not selfish. My best definition I've been able to come up with about love is wanting the best for another being, understanding their light and dark side, while respecting our needs. So we need to embrace their light and dark side, wanting the best for them, and respect. So it's a dance. And let's say you made dinner, as you just suggested. You made dinner, and the person you made dinner for shows up late. If they do that all the time, it's a different story. But it just happened that, you know, you've been cooking all day, you're so looking forward, it happened to be late. And our first reaction is to get hurt. And if we are honest with ourselves, one of the reasons we get all emotional is because deep down we go exactly to this story that what's wrong with me that this is happening, or I'm losing love, something is wrong for this to be happening. And if instead we know that this person loves us, if we are conscious, mature, we take a deep breath and we go, all right, since he or she loves me right now, what's another reason why they were late tonight? So instead of making it about us and what's happening to us, if we become conscious and ask ourselves that question, then we can be more centered. And coming from that place, we can say, all right, so what happened today? How was your day? And then they can tell us what happened. And usually there's a good reason why they would show up late. As I said, if it's always the same story, you know, they're always late, that's different. But I wanted something like this, not to get all bent out of shape when our mate is not doing what we expect them to do. Because really, again, that's the same story as I talked before, is that if I cry and I get the response I want, then something is right with me. And if I cry and I don't get the response I want, then something is wrong with me. And that's why we get all upset. So that's a really good trick to bypass the emotional outburst that can happen that often push the relationships away, because it comes from a place of insecurity.
It's great advice. It's absolutely just genius. And I wanted to ask you, I have a little angel nightlight, and every time I plug her in, I'm all excited because she's beautiful and she lights up in my room. You know, it can be completely dark and there's a little angel just lit. And then when I pull her out to like vacuum or something, all of a sudden she's not illuminated anymore. But it doesn't take away her beauty and grace. It's just that she's not lit, you know, when I pull her out of the wall. And I remember you talking about people that disconnect from their heart. And I think of that same image of like plugging in a little angel and it's all bright and all lit up, and then you pull it out and all of a sudden it's not illuminated, but it doesn't change the little angel nightlight. It's still a little angel nightlight. And so how does somebody disconnect from their heart?
Well, we disconnect from the heart by creating stories about our worth. You know, is a baby worthy of love? Is a two-year-old worthy of love? A four-year-old, a six-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, even though 15 can be challenging, 17-year-old to 20-years-old. At what point does a human being stop being worthy of love? And the answer is when we decide so ourselves. And one of the most common reasons why people disconnect from their heart is the illusion that if I was worthy, I would get everything I need when I need it, that we would never have challenges. Again, that's why I love using the yin and the yang, the light and dark side, the support and challenge, because I was, before I did this, I'm doing this interview right now, I was giving a talk, and I asked again, raise your hand if you've never experienced huge challenges. And nobody raised their hand. And I've asked this question to thousands of people, and so far, no one has ever risen their hand. So maybe, just maybe, as human beings, we need to understand that life is going to have equal support and challenge. And that if we are smart, we're going to learn to use both the support and the challenge to get us where we want to go. And it's not because we face challenges that something is wrong with us. That's one of the biggest reasons why we start creating stories. These stories just start to become self-fulfilling prophecy. Once we have the evidence that something is wrong with us, then we keep on looking for it, and we make ourselves true to this.
It sounds like so much to say, well, 50% of life is a challenge. Mm-hmm. And is there a way to say, like you're saying at the top of the show, that exactly where you are in the moment is the exact perfect place, that everything is absolutely in order. And so as challenges come, do we take them as like waves in the ocean, like little kids that are jumping them and play with them? Or is there a way we're supposed to face them head on? Or is there a better way to forge through challenges? What do you recommend to people?
So, yeah, that's a good question. That's a great question. When I talk about support and challenge, is there are challenges like, you know, my father, the cancer, my brother, my relationship. That was a huge challenge. That happened, it felt like out of nowhere. But now when I look back, I understand the perfection of having that moment in my life. But again, if we look at the yin and the yang, the light and dark, and if we look at the dark right now as challenge and the light side as support, this is, you know, you've heard of the law of attraction. Well,
yes.
For me, I created a different law of attraction, and it's the following. If you challenge yourself into following your heart and doing what needs to be done, like me, I had to stop being a chiropractor to become a coach. If you challenge yourself, you attract support. You feel good about life. You feel good about yourself. You feel happy and grateful. But the reverse is also true. If we stay in the light side, the comfort side, if we do what's easy, I could have stayed and remained a chiropractor. Then I would have attracted challenges. I would have felt unhappy, like I was missing on my life. So we will never have more pleasure than challenges. The only thing we can do is choose which form we want them in. And maybe I'm a control freak, but I would rather challenge myself into getting what my heart desires for me than wait for what I call the baseball bat to change me a path and put me on the right one so that I can live the life that deep down I'm yearning to live.
That's gorgeous. It's glorious. It really is. Wow.
I like to use an analogy. It's a corny analogy, but it's the perfect corny analogy. Is that one day a scientist was observing a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, and it's a huge trouble. It takes hours and hours and hours and hours. So the scientist decides that he's going to cut the cocoon open so the poor butterfly doesn't have to struggle so much. But because he does that, butterfly has nothing to struggle against. So its wings are weak, and it can never fly, and it dies like that. And in our lives, we have to be careful. If you're a parent, or you're a family member, or a boyfriend, or girlfriend, often we have a tendency to want to cocoon the people in our lives. But when we do that, we actually weaken them, and we prevent them from living the most amazing life possible. So love is support and challenge. Our life will support and challenge too. And if we have the wisdom to sit down and see how the challenges in our lives are actually blessings, they were there to put us on a path, to get us to understand things we would have never understood otherwise, then we can feel happy. Because the source of human suffering is the search for pleasure without challenges.
Ooh, I like that. You know, I was just smiling on challenges, but I really, that's brilliant. And I know we're jumping to a break in just a minute. And when we come back from break, I would love to talk to you about your upcoming event, which I just think is life-changing, life-altering, and literally something, you know, when you think about Christopher Columbus discovering, a new world, or you think at some time we thought the world is flat and now it's round, and all of these things, landing a man on the moon. And I always think every time that there's an earthquake in Los Angeles that it's going to open up and we'll say, oh, look, it's Atlantis. And it will, in that second, just change consciousness. And you actually have an event coming up that can absolutely change consciousness, change love, change relationships, and it's something that everybody in the world can participate in, and I'm so excited for you to share it with our audience. And so more with Dr. Lise Janelle when we return. Welcome back to Passionate Living. We are here with Dr. Lise Janelle talking about heart-centered living, conversations with the heart, and how to love in a deeper and more profound way, and how to love yourself in a more conscious and loving and caring way, which I think is just absolutely one of the most important things that we can talk about. And Lise, you have an event coming up that you actually don't even call an event. You're calling it a movement. And I've been sharing this with people. You talk about water cooler conversation, that when you meet people in the morning, you say, did you hear? Did you see? It's like, did you see this movie? Did you see this? There is an elation and a joy and a need to share, a need to communicate this incredible thing. And I have to tell you that it's been years in my life before I've been filled with something so exciting that I felt that I needed to share it with everybody that I've met. And that's what this is coming up. And so I love the fact that you're calling it a movement. And I would love for you to talk to our audience, because I am so thrilled. And not only is this a movement of the heart, but this is actually a fulfillment, as you're talking about at the top of the show, of a lifelong dream and journey for you. And I wanted to congratulate you on that.
Wow, thank you so much. Yes, I've had this dream within my heart to bring this forward and help to heal the hearts of millions of people. And apparently some scientist has calculated that the square root of 1% of the population of the Earth would be around 8,000 people. If we had 8,000 people together, we can start a new culture, a new movement. That's why I call it a movement. That's my goal. This is going to be the first event, but we're going to have it twice a year, and in between we're going to have other things we're going to do, exercises and connection. And I want to make sure that people build on this. But Greg Braden, who has an interesting book called The Spontaneous Healing of Belief, says, our beliefs have the power to change the flow of events in the universe. Literally, to interrupt and redirect time, matter, and space and the events that occur within them. And when I read that, I was so inspired. And I understand that we cannot go and tell somebody that they're doing something wrong. It never works. But if I take the time to reconnect with my heart, and because of that, I'm more grateful, I'm happier, then I impact the people around me, my family, my coworkers, the clients that I serve, the people at the grocery store. But it's also a theory at the quantum level that if I transform my inner universe at the collective consciousness level, we're impacting each other so that each of us can have a world impact. If we take the time to listen to the heart and act on our heart's desire and let go of the old beliefs that something must be wrong with me for having faced all these challenges in our life. So that's why I want to create this like a global movement. It's going to be across, you know, the globe. It's live, but also you have access to recordings via phone or via the web. And if we can get 8,000 people seriously focusing on learning to live from their heart with gratitude for who they are, what they have, and what they do, we can start a new culture where on a regular basis people will say something like, you know, that's in line with my heart. I think this would be a really good thing to do. Or, you know, it feels wrong. I don't think that's the right thing for me. In my heart of heart, this doesn't feel right. So that everyday conversation, we will start having a new language where we'll speak with more wisdom from the center. And that's how we can really shift things on planet Earth. Because when someone is connected in their heart, they respect themselves, they respect others, and they respect the environment. We don't have to go and tell them things. You naturally become more caring, more respectful. And if all of us started to do this, we could really shift. We could really make a quantum shift on planet Earth.
That's amazing. I'm just feeling a ripple of energy right now. It's just waves of delight and a yes. Like you just want to stand up and say, yes, this could work. If we, I mean, 8,000 people, that's nothing compared to all of the people on the planet. To be able to live from a heart-centered place and to be able to change society, the planet, the world, to a light conscious society of humanity, that's brilliant.
That's my dream, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. That's my journey, that's my quest. I feel that's my purpose in life, and I love it.
Wow. So tell me about the event that's coming up and how people can participate and who's going to be part of it, and because I just know that this is something that each and every person that is in our audience tonight and part of this show, from whatever country they're listening from and wherever you are. And as Elise, you were saying, you can do this from your phone, you can do this from your computer, you can do this from recordings, can step into this world of leading and living from a heart-centered space.
Yes, well, it's easy. If you go to globalhearthealing.com, www.globalhearthealing.com, and you register there, you get access to all the information. The live calls are going to be from Friday morning from 9 until 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And if you don't have, you know, if you cannot be there, there's going to be recordings available for 24 hours. If you want to purchase them, you can also purchase them, but it's free. And on Sunday afternoon, we're going to have a master class where I will wrap up all the information from all the people that I've interviewed. I've interviewed 12 top transformational leaders. Some of you may know them. Jack Canfield, who is the author, co-author of The Chicken Soup for the Soul. Janet Atwood, The Passion Test. Lisa Nicole, Speaking to Damas, Marsha Witter, Dream Academy, Gabrielle Nosovich, Andres Portillo. We even have Chunyin Lin, who's a master Qigong healer. And I wanted to have his energy on the call. And we have Frederick Johnson, who's this beautiful soul singer. When he sings, he brings tears to my eyes because he's so connected inside. And so we want to have a collection of transformational leaders who've been doing this for many years, who come with wisdom. And we're going to come from the heart with music and incantation and meditation and create something really powerful. We're also creating a Facebook community so where people can ask questions and we can interact with each other, so we can create something that can be truly beautiful and transformative.
That's fantastic. And is this Friday, February 12th?
Yes, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 3 hours ahead of Pacific Time. And so we try to pick a time that would be good around the globe. We have people in Japan. I know I'm going to be interviewed on Wednesday morning for a show in Japan, and hopefully we'll be able to connect all these people because they're 14 hours ahead of time. So that was the challenge, is trying to organize everybody, and people in Europe are 6 hours ahead. So we tried to pick a time that would be good for everyone.
I love this. And what is the Facebook page? Just because I know people are probably writing down feverishly and saying, oh, I want to be part of this and would love to participate and would love to talk and share their heart and their spirit and their soul and their consciousness and their light and their energy and their thoughts.
So the same thing for the Facebook group. It's Global Heart Healing. And you can go in and register. It's a group that happens though when people register for the event. So once you register for the event, you have access to the Facebook group.
This is wonderful, Lise, that you've been able to take this dream and move forward and move forward and open wider and higher and grander and literally give it air and flight and launch it into such a brilliant platform. And I am so grateful that as you were working as such a busy, successful chiropractor, that this little voice inside
made me cry.
To call. And that's really what you were talking about, that you were saying that when you listen to your heart and you pay attention to your heart and not only hear it, but you actually start to act, how your whole life and world opens up and changes. And I'm so grateful that that's happened for you and that you've realized this dream and that you're making it come true, not just for yourself, but for people all around the world.
Yes, I feel blessed. I feel really blessed with my life. My life has challenges like everybody, but when you face challenges with love, they don't feel like challenges. It's like parents who have children and they get up in the middle of the night and they change diapers and they feed their child, and you know the child is sick and you're by their bedside and they drive them here and they drive them there. When parents do it from the heart, it actually brings joy. And I think that's why most parents will tell you that the best thing they ever done in their life was to have children, because it forces you to go beyond yourself. And when we are blessed enough to have a purpose greater than ourselves, it feels the same way. So some of you listening right now, maybe you have a calling in your heart that you've been afraid of taking on, but if you take it, the fulfillment that comes from challenging ourselves and having the patience to hang in, like for me, since 1989 to 2016, it's been a very long time. But the journey has taught me so much and it's been so rich. And if I had to do it all over again, I would choose the same path.
Fantastic. And I know that we're coming up to the top of the hour, but one of my favorite questions that I always love to ask guests on the show is, the show is called Passionate Living. And so before we close out, can you tell me, what does leading and living a passionate life mean to you?
Well, we can only live a passionate life if we're willing to get out of our comfort zone. That's why people go skydiving, because they're totally out of their comfort zone, and they feel alive, they feel passionate. So if within you, you know you need to change career, but you're staying because it's comfortable, you're not going to be passionate. Put in place a plan and get out of the comfort zone. Go scare yourself. That's the best way. You don't petrify yourself to death so you can't do that. But make sure you get out of your comfort zone. Listen to the heart. Don't sit in the comfort. Challenge yourself. And that's how you're going to live a passionate life.
Great answer. Well, I wish you the best with your event, and I will certainly be there supporting you, participating. And as I shared earlier, that I wish that all the listeners out there and the audiences here and across the globe would step forward and become part of this movement. Imagine a life if we all lived a heart-centered life. What it would be like on this planet, in this world, in our daily lives, with our families, with our friends, with our relationships, and with ourselves. And so it has been an honor, a privilege, and a joy to have you with us. And we so look forward to having you back and an update on the movement. And we all want to be there for you. And it's just...
Oh, thank you so much. You're an angel. You're like that little light you have in your room. Thank you so much for having me on. And again, for joining us, it's globalhearthealing.com. And I look forward to having you and interacting with you and having fun together.
Thank you. The same here, and for everybody out there. So for Dr. Lise Janelle and for myself, Nicole Brandon, we are wishing you a passionate life, a joyous life, a life full of happiness and bliss, and that each and every one of your dreams come true. And we are wishing you a heart-centered life, one that connects to other hearts, and one that connects, not disconnects, but connects to yourself and the love that you have for yourself, and can plug that in and connect that to the world around you. So we are all sharing in the more love, more heart, more light. Beautiful, beautiful way of life. We look forward to seeing you next week here on Passionate Living.